At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the EDP F1 podcast, looking ahead to the big one, the only one that matters if you're trying to get parked on a field and it's about to rain and you're possibly going to miss the race, or you're stuck in a queue of never-ending traffic for 7 hours. Apparently, ticket sales are down at the British Grand Prix because Sebastian Vettel keeps winning races. Got nothing to do with what happened at Silverstone last year, apparently. It is, of course, British Grand Prix weekend next on the Formula One calendar. It's not quite there yet, not here yet. We'll be soon, though. Joining me to talk about this one, Perry Hamilton, David Tillier, and I'm here.
Hello.
Hello. Howdy. I should say hello.
Yeah.
It's all a bit wrong, isn't it? Formula One coming home.
Are
we excited?
Oh, don't do this thing,
EDT. Don't do
Love
this
it.
Thing.
We'll cut that one out. Yeah. I'll turn that one into a trailer. I think it'll probably be good. It's got a bit of rebuilding, hasn't it, to do after last year, Silverstone and the cock-ups. Is that why ticket sales are down? Is that why they've struggled?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, as a British F1 fan, I can't see myself ever going to the British Grand Prix. Frankly, I'd rather spend the same money and go to Spa, because it would cost me the same amount of money, pretty near enough. And I could go to Spa, have a couple of days holiday. You know, you hop on a coach from London or whatever. It costs you next to nothing to get out there. And you know, or you can hop on a plane and go to Malaysia and get a seat for like £14 or something. You know,
yeah, it's so just the airfare to Malaysia.
Just the airfare
is the stumper for me there, mate.
But £500 just to get to go and watch a Grand Prix in my own country seems like a hell of a lot. You know, I know you can probably get cheaper ones, you can get single days, but you know, it's not cheap. You know,
I think it's the fact that it's been brought forward. I think it's a different date. I think, you know, I know it's only a week or 2 weeks or so forward, but I do genuinely think that a lot of people, we earmark that the first couple of weeks in July, you know, that for us is the proper start of summer. And I think a lot of people say, you know, in June, it's coming just, you know, I don't know, I think the change in date might have something to do with it.
As someone sat in a queue, and I mean, I go and I work there, so I'm not paying per se, someone who sat there in a traffic queue for 7-8 hours fretting over the fact that my day's work was happening the other side of a fence that I was nowhere near getting beyond. It was pretty frustrating, and I know a lot of people who had tickets for the Saturday didn't end up going because they were told that they couldn't go to watch, and they'd already bought their tickets and that sort of stuff. So maybe there's a bit of goodwill to melt mob there. It is interesting that it's a different date.
Yeah. The other thing, the other reason I don't think I'll ever go to British Grand Prix is because they've now confirmed that, or they've now said that they will. It looks like they're going to bring back in-season testing. And it looks like we'll probably have in-season testing 2 days a year at Silverstone, which, you know, at the end of the day, all I want to do is go and see a Formula 1 car drive around. I quite happily watch the British Grand Prix on TV and actually see all the action. And then once a year I can hop in the car.
Wouldn't that be brilliant?
You know, and just
go.
That
happens.
We shall go. We should do the podcast once we've left the track, obviously.
Cause we can't do it on site.
Well, we maybe could for testing.
No, I might do, yeah.
Ask the question. Note to self. Yes. Do that.
You've got contacts, haven't you, Michael?
I've got eight contacts.
He's got
somewhere.
Bernie's direct line,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah. I'll give him a ring.
Bernie, it's Mike. Yeah, we want to do a podcast at Silverstone. Yeah, done.
How much? Yeah. They do straight line testing, of course, at Duxford, which.
Yes, and I went to one 2011, whenever it was.
The Caterham announcement.
Yeah, the Caterham announcement. So, yeah, so that. You know, it was interesting, but you can't really get close enough to see, you know, the car is kind of a dot in the distance, doesn't it? But, you know, so it will be nice to see cars actually going round corners.
A corner!
And not have to pay through the nose to do it. I know the atmosphere won't be the same, and a lot of people say, oh, it's not the same as British Grand Prix, but honestly, I really love watching Formula One on telly. You know, going and going to a race is something that you have to do. If you're a big fan, you have to do at least once or twice in your life. But I
pick your spots is what you're basically saying. Pick your race as well.
As I said, you work, you cover a race at Silverstone, you go and watch it in the press, in the media suite, on the television screens. Mm. You can't actually see the track from the press room. You can nip through and there's a little cafe which has got a window right on the start grid, so you can see it there.
Yeah.
But that's it. So you end up just watching it there on telly.
Mm.
There you go. Save yourself the money.
There you go.
Ruin the magic of media.
Disillusion.
Yeah. Magic
of media. If you're going to go to Silverstone, do what I did last year and go to like the 6 hours of Silverstone and go and watch the World Endurance Championship. You know, you can. It's 6 hours long, so that you can go and have a hot dog or go on the rides or go and have a wander around.
6 hours? How big's your hot dog? Jeez, mate. Good Lord.
Standard question, as it's now become apparent, is the most important weekend for... Who do you reckon?
Caterham. I think I said Caterham last week as well, though, didn't I? I think I said Caterham had to have a strong performance. This is home soil for them, you know, and... Come on, who else are we going to root for? I mean, I remember Damon Hill got arrows, British driver, British team, their first ever point at the British Grand Prix. And
that was an epic race.
It was an epic race. I was there for that one. And I was young at the time, but the place was deafening. Mm. He drove around, he got a standing, I think then it was only the top six drivers that got points, and he came in sixth and got them one point. And he got a standing ovation. I remember him coming ever so slowly around the corner. I wish, for the love of God, I could remember what corner it was. I can't, though. I think it might have been down at Lusty.
It's changed
way.
A bit since
I think
then,
it has,
though.
Yeah, but I don't know. I know it was a very slow rounded corner, and he came around and just waved for everyone, and everyone went mental.
Would have been
for
stone,
it,
I reckon.
Crazy. Yeah. And yeah, so you know, if a backmarker team can just pull off a good victory, I mean, I know they don't have a British driver, but if they could pull off a good, you know, a victory for them, something that's a strong, solid performance. I'm not saying a point, but you know, a 12th position maybe. Something like that. Show some improvement. Mm. Do it on home soil, and you know you'll have a really good feeling going into the next few races.
Because it must be said, Caterham have been shocking at the British Grand Prix in the last couple of years when I've been there. Also, of course, Guido Madegaard will have a five place grid penalty from the start,
which will probably
knock it down too eventually.
Yeah. I think I agree with Pat. Actually, I think in terms of just the British contingent within Formula One, it's going to be a big weekend for them. I mean, were you talking about going and seeing Damon Hill? My first experience of the British Grand Prix was in 1992 when Mansell won it. And I think I was sat at Copps. And it was just open then, and we just had a blanket on the ground, and you'd sit and it was slightly banked and you could see the track. And as soon as he won, we invaded the track. And I can't remember whether or not it was Jean Alesi or... Sure, it was John Lacey. He had to stop his Ferrari on the corner because he couldn't get through the crowds of people. So he sort of stopped his Ferrari and got out. You know, and we were going over, and I managed to get a hand on the back wheel, and it was carnage. But it was an amazing experience because we had a British driver on the British Grand Prix.
It would have been Williams then as well, wasn't it? It would have been a British team
British,
as well.
British team British as well. British so, driver, British so I think. But unfortunately, although it's going to be a big weekend, and I know majority of the teams can lay some kind of claim to being British, even if they don't have British ownership, I don't think we have much of a chance of seeing any success from our British drivers, really.
Well, I remember just from a couple of years ago when Massa and Lewis Hamilton were tussling on the last lap, and Massa basically got ran off the road on the last corner because Lewis was just holding him off, and the noise was ridiculous.
I was in a cafe in Amsterdam.
Oh, there you go.
Watching that. Entirely sober.
Fantastic.
I would like to point out. Good. But I remember watching that. I was in Amsterdam for that race.
It was a cracker. So, quite simply... You know that Silverstone's going to get behind any kind of British contingent as best they can and as vocally as they can. So it's just got to be a huge weekend for McLaren, hasn't it? Jensen after Canada was sat there in the interview saying, oh, I'm just trying to remember what I was being told to say, because he was obviously very specific lines that he was supposed to be coming out with. They're miles off it, but everyone's going to be desperate to see something from them, but there's just no signs of life.
No, I think they need to
pray. Focus.
Focus. I think they just need to focus on next year and put this year behind them.
Already. Can a team like McLaren do that?
Phone it in at the British Grand Prix.
Or is this it? Is this, effectively, this is the race last, where they really need to try and pull it out?
The last gasp, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at last year, they weren't really in much of a title contention by this point in the season, yet they had well over double the amount of points they've got now. So they were still in it, but they weren't looking like they were going to do that well, even though they had a really good car. They were up there. So is it really worth the sacrificing what is inevitably going to be a big, big year next year? It's going to be really difficult for everyone with all the new regulations. Would it not be best to just admit defeat and try and do the best with what you've got?
They've got a bit of an issue with that, in that actually the aerodynamic regulations are fairly similar, aren't they? And if you can't understand this year's car...
Yeah, but there's going to be packaging differences as well. So and packaging makes a hell of a difference with aerodynamics. So I think ultimately, though, the... You know what McLaren like as well? They like to come out with something completely new every year as well. You know, they don't evolve.
Yeah.
Which has...
Definitely can, always works, that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting looking at the 2011 race, and you look at the Red Bull, and Red Bull isn't too dissimilar to the car I've got now, obviously just a slight different nose. And you look at the McLaren, it's completely different, in a completely different shape. So, yeah. But I know it's not in their blood, and I don't think they will do it. They will push. But I think... They would be prudent to call it a day, I think.
All right, then, it's time for our own competition, the important stuff, boys, important stuff. It's prediction time. First of all, that means we have to go through what we had for Canada, of course. Oh, Canada. Perry, I'll start with you.
Please
do. You predicted a Lewis Hamilton win.
Oh,
Sebastian Vettel pole.
Nailed it.
Alonso podium.
Nailed it.
Sauber top eight.
Yeah, that was not such a good shout.
But that's sort of a half and half, if you like.
Yeah, I'll take 2 for 4. Yeah, happy with that.
My lambasted pole sitter will win the race prediction did come true.
That could be like saying the car which has the most tyres.
Whatever.
You know,
whatever.
Come on.
I'm taking it. Well, Vettel pole, you know, whatever. Perez top five. Nope. Two safety cars, which I gave myself a kudos point for.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah? Do you not agree?
I like the way... Well, I mean...
Bit harsh?
Come on, it's Canada.
All right, then. I'll remove that retrospectively on the judge's advice. It didn't happen anyway. Bottas, first points.
now that looked
good. Saturday evening.
That looked like a good one.
He was coming out here, you know, well, will you get points, Valtteri? Well, yeah, I'd like to think that's, you know, where we'll start with our aims. Until he realised the car wasn't good enough. So that didn't happen. And my other banker of Hülkenberg, clearly going to finish ahead of Gutierrez. He actually DNF'd before Gutierrez, so thus didn't finish better than Gutierrez. So that didn't go very well. DT, you said Hamilton pole. Mm. Alonso win, Raikkonen podium, Caterham top 12, which I gave you a kudos point for.
There's an absolute comedy of errors for you this weekend, wasn't it?
That was the consolation for you, I'm afraid.
What did the Oracle do?
Just as badly. Hamilton win, Hamilton pole, De Resta top 6, so he's very close, a bit unlucky there. Button top 6, which is just foolhardy, really. We did have a separate dink on who would head into the World of Champions first.
Yeah.
Perry, you said that 3 or more people would go into it in free practice alone. said Grosjean, you know, it seems sensible.
Obvious choice.
DT said Weber, Kyle said Gutierrez, and the truth is, of course, no one really went into the World of Champions in the end.
I think it's because we didn't specify a champion. I think if we actually said that a champion was going to go into the World
True.
Yeah.
So no bonus points there. It means that my extensive and improved algorithm has Perry top with DT second and Kyle third. I should just say that this is taking more into account of the frequency of the predictions. Obviously, if you're getting more right over, you know, 7 rather than 3 races, you deserve a bit of a bonus for that.
That said,
I'm still 5th behind Jack, who only had 1 guess. That's how badly I'm doing at the moment. So there we go, it's all up. Which means we need predictions, of course, for Britain. Silverstone. So when you're ready, gents.
I'm going to...
Go on,
well, I was just going to say after you, Ben.
No, I feel I always jump both feet forward far too often with my predictions.
Well, I start. So I never start.
Yeah, you never start. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm liking Force India a lot.
And whatever he says, we'll go
the absolute opposite of
on previous efforts.
Is he going to go, whichever car could stick to its strategy and work its tyres best will win? Pole and with the fastest lap.
Well, yeah. All right. I will say that the winner will do a three-stop.
Oh, hello, cheeky. You see the fire in his eyes, folks, when he said that.
I'm liking Force India. I think they're going to have two cars in the top seven.
Ooh, nice.
And I think Paul de Resta will be close to a podium, but I don't... No, go on. Why not? Paul de Resta on the podium. His first podium.
That's
Force
huge.
India's first podium. Power to fruition.
That's huge.
And I'm done.
Okay.
Deal with the carnage, boys.
Okay, all right.
You're looking very pensive. Pensive faces here in the EDPF One podcast.
I'm probably going to go quite bold with my predictions.
Love it.
Be quite specific.
Excellent. This always fails.
Going to go for...
Don't do it.
A Red Bull front row lockout on Saturday.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah.
With Vettel just edging Webber.
Clearly.
Okay.
And I think that Vettel will convert that into a win. Okay. And I think that Webber will stay within him enough to get a podium. And I think I think Alonso will be up there. So I know these aren't particularly bold predictions, but they're quite specific. And then I'm going to go with John Eric Verne to get top eight again.
Ooh, backing up his promise. Right, yeah. I'm going to add one in.
Go on then.
I think Lewis will out qualify and out finish Nico again.
Okay. That ties nicely into where I'm going. I believe it will be a Mercedes lockout in qualifying on the front row of the grid.
Uh-huh.
I reckon it will be Nico finishing it with qualifying on pole.
Ooh.
I feel that's a bold shout, but I think the Mercedes has the pace in it to do that, and I think Nico's very quick. And I just think he's just going to edge. He's not going to have been happy with a wet qualifying performance in Montreal. I mean, it could be a wet qualifying performance in Britain in June. God, who knows? Mm. But I think, yeah, I think all Mercedes on the front row Lewis on the second position and Rosberg taking pole. I would say podium for Kimi Raikkonen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I will say I'll go Lewis to win.
Love it.
I think that's two weeks in a row I've gone Lewis to win, haven't I?
Indeed.
I don't think that's going to be true. I'd like Lewis to win.
Are you backtracking? It sounds a lot like you're backtracking.
No, I stick by my prediction. I'd go Lewis to win. I'll go Lewis to win.
I think we're going to neatly round that up then.
Mm.
Can they all happen? No, they can't all happen, can they? I always just want them all to happen, but they can never all happen.
Can't all happen.
But I hope mine happen. So there you go. Right then. Well, I think that will wrap that up. I'm looking forward to it. Back in Britain. Will it rain?
Yes.
During the race?
No.
I think it'll rain because they've brought the date forward.
Okay.
July's been horrible. June's been horrible so far. So.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know...
I think it'll be cold and overcast, but I don't think it'll rain. Okay, if it rains, I don't think it will be classed as a wet race because I don't think anyone will have to go onto Inters.
Okay.
So I think you might get spitting and you might get a little bit of grease on the track from it, but I don't think that the weather will be bad enough for anyone to have to change their tyres.
Okay.
I think that you might get some drops of rain, but it won't be bad enough.
Well, we did a Wall of Champions prediction last time, so we should do a weather prediction.
Well, I was going to say, but slightly less than bold prediction as well, but it probably will rain, but there will still be plenty of men, British men, in shorts.
Oh, clearly, yeah.
And socks and sandals.
Definitely.
it's not... They're not in Spain, come on.
It's not continental.
It's a dress code, isn't it?
That's just what the Brits do abroad.
Yeah. So, Perry, you're saying wet race, no. No inters, no wet tyres.
No inters and no wet tyres for the race.
DT?
I'm not necessarily saying wet race, but I think we could have a wet session. I know that's great.
Can't have any bonus points for that.
I'm not expecting bonus points.
You're saying, well, no, I'm offering them those.
Okay.
In, you're saying no inters or wets in the race.
That's what I'm saying.
No inters or wets in the race, DT?
I'm going to say no inters or wets in the race, but inters in free practice three.
That'd really green the track up for qualifying, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
That'd be lovely. We'd look forward to
it. I would love it, and I'm just going to go for it. Why not? Inters at least. So inters or wets. Qualifying and race. It's going to be a pig of a weekend. Well,
let me ask a question here. They only have a certain amount of tyres for the weekend. Intermediate tyres for the weekend.
Yeah, it's like four, isn't it?
Yeah. So if you use... I mean, bear in mind, if you have to go out on inters for Q1, Q2 and Q3, how many sets of tyres does that leave you for the race?
They've asked this issue before, and I think they will make them available, won't they, if it's
They'd run the race on scrubs as
yeah.
well. So, yeah. you know, they'd... I think they'd have to make concessions, don't they? Because if it was wet from start to finish, so, you know, free practice one, free practice two, free practice three, I mean, there would be less running, but still, unless it was...
But then if you're going to make concessions when it rains, why have the limit there in the first place?
Yeah.
Because you can't... There's no point in limiting the use of intermediate and wet tyres if it's not... You're not going to use them, because you're not going to use them if it's not raining.
Yeah.
So why would you say you can only have four sets of intermediate tyres if it rains? Oh, it's rained a bit more than we thought. Have some more tyres. Why bother? Why not just say you can use as many tyres as you like?
I don't see the point in limiting tyres at all in any race, personally. Then they can only use so many during the race.
You're only going to pit stop as many times as it befits you, aren't you? Pit stop 10 times just to get fresh tyres. You're going to lose so much time, it's ridiculous.
Or at least in practice, anyway, maybe.
All right, on that note, then, gents, we'll wind it up. We're going to have a bit of Silverstone coverage over the weekend in the EDP, so keep an eye out for that online and in the paper. And on my Twitter, which is at Michael J. Bailey, and the EDP F1 Twitter feed, which is at EDP F1. That's right.
Shocker.
Bagged it. These guys are on Twitter too, aren't you, DT?
I am. I'm at Dave Tillier.
If you can spell it,
yeah,
then you can follow it.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much. Yeah. Tends to be how it works. How about yours, Ped?
I am PedHD56.
No prizes for spelling that one.
No, that's 5-6 the numbers. Don't write 56.
Don't write, no, please.
Don't spell
or
it out.
No.
Although I was thinking about changing my Twitter thing to auto-retentive. Which I thought was quite...
And on that bombshell...
I'm pretty sure this is how all our podcasts end now, isn't it? Yeah. Which was sort of an awkward joke.
Yeah. About something to do with Twitter.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, then, gents, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you all for listening. And we will see you post-Silverstone.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.